What's up, Internet, and welcome to episode 66 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Tom Agrino sitting in the wrong chair.
I'm totally in the wrong chair because Greg Hinniger decided that this is the time, this is the place
this
in
the,
which his balls
battle.
Come out.
This is the battle that
I'm dropped.
Going to fight.
His balls just dropped in front of us.
This is my seat. I am going to sit here from now on.
From now on.
I realize that
I'm always in this room before
I'm currently
you.
Urinating
your
all over this seat.
I don't care.
It's mine now. There you think. Thank you, Coop.
So,
and I'm Henry Gilbert.
Oh my God!
I'm Lorenzo Villoria.
It's a weirdly confrontational Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Right. We're all getting ready to fight with our own families.
Yeah, this is how we gear up.
Everyone's getting a little pent up.
I'm really annoyed already.
Yeah.
I'm ready to storm out.
So tomorrow, are you going to eat each green pea that is offered to you?
I will eat each
green
pea.
Perfect.
Tom's stay until after the episode to see why the fuck he just did that.
Very expressive.
We got a quick show for you today. We have plenty to do outside of the office because it's a short week for us.
Short week.
Finally, God, the month of November is over
with
today.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was... it's not, actually. We have another week after this one.
No, not in
November.
November's done this week.
November is done.
Yeah.
Today is the 26th.
Can you believe two fucking consoles came out this month? Why did that happen?
Because
everybody
we sinned.
They were Yeah, I was going to say the corporations were waiting for the other to blink, and neither did.
Yeah,
and then they blinked.
So
and
yeah,
then we all got consoles.
We made it through console launch. We hope you did as well.
We made it through.
Wait! That's from.
I didn't catch the reference.
Your mic cut out. Could you do it again?
Somehow I made it through.
Your mic actually didn't cut out the first time.
Okay. Somehow
they sing
that, I made
they sing that in Moulin Rouge.
Oh, I was going to say that's from Madonna's Like a Virgin.
Ah.
Like a Virgin. Is it?
Yeah, that's right.
For the very
all right.
First time.
I'm cool with that.
I don't see it.
Virgin.
And we made it through.
With Next Gen, if you bought an Xbox One, you can actually follow people instead of just friending them. Mm-hmm. So, Henry, you got an Xbox One also, right?
Yes.
What's your Xbox One username?
Really? We're doing this? Fine.
We have a community,
Henry.
You can
follow me, but I'm not going to friend you. Oh. Don't expect that.
Wow.
It is Sir Mary Legs. No spaces. SirMerryLegs.
Yes. And mine is just Hollander Cooper. I spent the $9.99 to change it.
What happened to I Heart Destroy?
It was difficult to remember to tell people that they needed to put a zero in there, so I decided to just spend the money and save myself some time.
I really want
to
change my gamer tag.
Really?
What's
it? Refuse to pay.
No, it's not Lozogre. I want to change it to Lozogre, but currently it's just my name like broken up into pieces, so it's Lozovela. You can friend me if
Lozavala.
You want.
Lozavela.
Yeah. Lozavela.
What's yours, Tom?
Of the really. Same.
Of the same.
Of
any,
the same.
Any capital letters in there?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't
it's not
matter.
Case sensitive. Nope. Mine's, one word, though.
Mine's Dev117, D-E-V, numbers 117.
John, you can 117.
You can follow us, though, as Henry said, you should not expect any of us to follow you back or friend you.
I will add you as friends.
I will follow and
as
friend
community
you.
Manager.
The don't two expect people, me to ever play a game.
The two people who have no access to use the systems at home.
I'm taking one home this weekend.
Does this count for... I mean, this is basically just our Xbox Live username.
Yeah, but I don't think you can follow people on
Xbox
360.
Isn't this one of those things where they're going to know how much we played something? So
well...
I'm afraid they'll know that I only play an hour of every game I review.
You'll know.
They'll know I'm a fraud.
You'll know how much Jamie watches Netflix.
Yeah,
I like
Orange
when it,
is the New Black.
Yeah,
it's such a great show.
Turns out
awesome
it's true,
show.
Scientifically. So yeah, got a quick show for you. Let's start with the top seven, written by Mr. Henry Gilbert. The top seven most disappointing launch titles. Of all time.
Good top seven.
What a downer.
What a downer, yeah. But you know what? It did pretty well. People liked reading it because there's nothing like knowing that right now isn't as bad as it's been in the past. Because it's easy to look at the lineup and be like, well, there weren't any amazing games. And it's like, yeah, but at least you weren't looking forward to Virtua Fighter on the Sega Saturn, number seven on this list.
Well, now, I will say that this list of launch games depends very much on my personal history with games.
Subjective.
I have very good backup and history for all these, including Virtua Fighter. Virtua Fighter in the arcades, which I believe came out in 93, was an amazing game. Like, it was, I think for most people, it was the first polygonal game they ever saw.
Polygonal.
Polygonal.
Multiple wives.
But...
and angles.
Yeah.
And so it was obviously going to, like, it made total sense to be a launch game for the Sega Saturn.
The Virtua Fighter theme?
Tom can't handle background music.
What led to that breakdown?
This reminds me of, like, so I just moved in this little small space, and my cats are driving me insane.
Uh-huh. We had this conversation.
Because during the middle of the night, they will go into the bathroom, as they should, and use the litter box. But there's something about the sound. It's like this small whisper of a sound of them just like shuffling about cat litter that instantly wakes me up.
Yeah.
Like as if somebody has fired a shot.
So Herman, my fat cross-eyed cat,
yeah,
goes into...
Adorable.
He's great.
Yeah.
I love Herman.
Super fat.
Yeah, so fat. Lazy as hell, too. So he goes
great
into
cat.
The litter box. Goes in the litter box.
Real piece of shit.
Lays down a real piece of shit. Uh-huh. Covers it up, but then he does the strangest thing. He, like, goes to the side of the litter box. You know how it's, like, enclosed?
Uh-huh.
And he'll just paw at the ceiling of the litter box for about a minute.
Why does he do that?
Who the hell knows?
Is it essentially him just being like, hey, guys, I just took a shit.
Oh,
give me
nonsense.
High fives. Give me high fives.
He's high-fiving the inside of the litter box.
That's
yeah,
so
my
weird.
Cats will just, like, stand on the side of the litter box and just 15 minutes.
Making sure it's nice and buried.
Yeah. So that wakes me up every night.
All right.
Also,
well,
cats.
So anyway, with the Saturn.
Anyway, that's why I hate background music.
So the Saturn was supposed to launch in September in America, but then they decided that to get the jump on Sony that they would launch it in May of that year instead, in 95, which meant they shoved out a bunch of games that, like, you're used to launch games being not totally done when they're out, but these had... four fewer months than they were supposed to have already. And, like, Virtua Fighter especially was just broken. It was missing tons of game moves. There was game modes. There was a terrible pop-in and just the lack of features. And as an apology, like, 2 months later, Sega released a Virtua Fighter remix, which really should be called the final version of Virtua Fighter, and sent it to free to owners in America that I think could, like, send them a receipt or something stupid like that. But... That was how bad it was. They're like, all right, look, here's a free game. Just,
all that
we're
said,
sorry.
All that said, the Saturn launch was quite possibly the best launch ever.
In
terms of its announcement.
Yeah, but in terms of the actual launch, like if you bought a Saturn, it was you had a really bad. I mean, if you bought when it launched, it was horrible.
It's horrible.
Yes. But in terms of excitement, like thinking if somebody did that now, that'd
story,
be the coolest.
The story there is they're having Sega's having their. Their E3 announcement, and they're like, and there's the Sega Saturn, and you can go buy it right now!
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was
to which all the game developers working on Sega Saturn games said, wait, what?
Uh-huh.
We didn't finish. Yeah, and it cost $400, yeah. Which was a lot of money, like even more money than that is now in 1995. $400 for a system was a
inflation.
Crazy price.
Fucking inflation. Yeah.
Inflation,
man. And then if you get, like... Yeah, then you buy Virtua Fighter, which seems to be like, oh, that's the obvious game to get with the launch system, of course, and then get it so broken, like, you're wishing you had saved $300 to buy a PlayStation when that launched.
I'm pretty sure I own this game, but I was young enough to not realize I was playing a shitty game.
You may not have owned it, because I don't think they sold it for very long, because they replaced it with the better version.
Oh, okay.
Or you might have bought Virtua Fighter 2 or Virtua Fighter Kids.
It's possible. It was definitely not Kids.
Okay.
It
that
was
had
a Virtua Fighter. Fighter.
Like Snowboard Kids.
I don't remember which one it was.
I fucking love that game.
Yeah. Number 6, Namco Museum on the Game Boy Advance.
Now, this one is a very personal story to me, but
good.
So... It's June 2001. In 3 months, September 11 will change America.
Henry Gilbert has just graduated from high school.
It's a brisk day.
Both true, yes. So
the wind blowing in his hair.
But the Game Boy comes out. I did not pre-order it anywhere, and so I had to get a bundle. And a bundle game system at GameStop, or actually eBay.
Power to the player.
And when I bought it there, I was like, well, I'll get Super Mario. What's the other game I should get? And I'm like, oh, Namco Museum. That's a good bet. I'm sure Namco Museum is fine.
A lot of good games in there.
Any game with Pac-Man. The word museum in the beginning.
Yeah, it's got to be exciting.
Quality-wise, it deserves to be in a museum.
Classics.
You should be in a museum as real.
Well, I enjoyed the Namco Museum games that were on the PS1 because they had, like, literally virtual museums in there that you would just walk around in, and then you'd play Pac-Man. Or whatever.
Right, exciting children all across the world.
Yes, but it was 3D for I was worlds. Already becoming an aging gamer in 1998. But anyway, then
you
I buy
in your
this
late
one.
30s then, right?
It's 30. It was $30, at least $30, and then I put it in. It is 5 games. It is Pac-Man, Dig Dug, Galaga, Rally X, and
Pole Position,
and 5 games for $30. Games that were meant to be played a quarter at a time. So they are so empty, and then there's nothing to unlock. And that's because they were too cheap to put a battery in it. There was no battery-backed memory in this game in 2001. Like, you couldn't save high scores. The only point to keep playing Pac-Man would be to get high scores in it and keep getting higher, but it would lose it the moment you turned off your system.
There is just the joy of playing Pac-Man, too.
Yeah, but...
Wrong.
It was... To know that they were that cheap, they're like, fuck it. Who needs batteries? That'll cost us an extra $40,000. Yeah, so it was very disappointing.
It's fucked
it
up,
sounds
isn't
it? Number 5 on the list, a game that Tom was sure was going to suck, and I had hopes for, Knack, the most recent entry on this list.
The issue is, I cried wolf, you know? And so when a game
your entire life
bad,
is crying wolf about games being bad.
Yeah.
For once, that wolf showed up, and we're like, all right, a wolf was here.
Yeah, so,
it was lame.
Tom and I had both played it at preview events. Tom said it was a load of shit. I said it was fine. I thought, like, all right, Mark Cerny knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
At least to a level that this can kind of... I didn't think it was going to be a great example of a launch title, but whatever. It looks cool. Boy, was I wrong. Knack is, as a mascot, because he is they're attempting to make a mascot out of him, no matter what way you look at it.
Definitely.
One of the least compelling characters you'll ever...
Zero personality.
Though he has zero personality because of so much of an attempt to give him a fake personality. Mm, yep. If he would have just been a cute little robot thing, like Wally or...
He's adorable when he's tiny.
He's adorable. And then even when he gets bigger, he's still kind of cool looking, but he talks.
The
and
moment
his,
he opens his goddamn mouth.
Yeah, he kind of sounds like Wolverine.
Yeah, and he also has this problem of just they
adorable
wanted to make him very sassy.
Adorable Wolverine.
So besides the fact that his dialogue is bad, he'll just walk. He does this thing, and every time I think of it, it makes me angry. But early in the game, he walks up to a robot and does like the move forward real fast to fake you out. And the robot jumps. And then when the robot jumps, he nods like, yeah.
I made a robot flip. I'm badass.
It's like, did that really happen? Yeah.
Because everybody finds it when somebody does that lovable and endearing.
Yeah, nobody ever, like, I've never seen, it is the worst thing anyone can do to anything.
Yeah.
It's not what good guys do in movies. Yeah. That's what the bad guy does.
Exactly. And while the gameplay.
It's what the bully in high school does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knack is essentially that character. Yeah.
And in junior high, a girl did that to me once.
Did you fall over backwards?
Did you flinch real bad?
I flinched
yourself
real bad.
Did you flinch forward and accidentally kissed her?
No.
You turned on?
Headbutter.
No, that was definitely not my
Was
finest.
It formative?
I wouldn't say it was formative, but it was definitely indicative of my junior high school experience.
Oh, junior high school
I bet you remember her name.
I don't remember her name,
really?
But I remember her face.
Oh, God.
Getting really close to your face and then backing off.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, Knack sucked.
Yeah, we thought Cerny would make a real... He made Crash Bandicoot. He worked on Jack and Daxter, Ratchet, all these great games.
It feels like it's a modern game made for 13-year-olds who existed in 1997.
Yeah.
Like 13-year-olds now don't want that kind of game, and people who were 13 then don't want that kind of game. It's just, it's made with this weird kind of sense. It's like, it's all the bad from that era without any of the good from now or the good from then. Yep. So,
no good.
Load of crap. Number four.
Mark Cerny, stick to hardware.
In short, Tom was right.
Yeah.
Number four, Godzilla Generations.
Mm-hmm. Now, so this is a Dreamcast launch game. The Dreamcast launch was pretty good, I'd say, actually. Like, they had a real strong launch. They had a lot of good games, at least in America, because they waited almost an entire year between its Japanese launch and its American launch. Like, it came out in November, actually a year to the date now, 15 years ago in Japan. But in one of those Japanese launch games was Godzilla Generations, which... was a game that sounds like it would be cool, where you play as Godzilla and you destroy a city as best you can, and it scores you based on how good you blew it up.
You almost can't go wrong with that premise.
Yeah.
And yet they did.
Almost.
Yeah, it was just... It was broken. The camera was terrible. The gameplay was super light for what you would buy on day one. When you start the game, you have two monsters. You have Godzilla or Mechagodzilla. You only have five cities, and then you unlock three more monsters.
What are the other monsters? Do you remember?
King. Was it Mothra?
King Rodan.
Mothra. Mothra's not a biped. I know King Ghidorah is in there, but that's
Mothra isn't a biped.
No, he's a butterfly.
He is
butterfree.
A moth, actually.
Yeah, a moth.
In his larval state, he does walk, but he kind of sucks.
Dude, how cheap is fucking Mothra? Mm-hmm. Mothra basically has all of the abilities. If Mothra needs something, he just has it.
Yeah.
At his disposal. Have you ever seen any of the Mothra movies?
I have watched every single Godzilla movie there is.
That's not what I was asking.
So the answer is yes.
Have you ever seen any of the Mothra movies? I ate a calzone for lunch.
Totally related.
Mothra movies are different than Godzilla movies. Mothra movies are of the similar quality, but he has his own movies. And
he's the hero?
He is the hero in the Mothra movies.
Gross.
They're terrible movies.
I remember that he gets...
But they're just cheap as shit, because it's like... Hey, you're going to try to kill Mothra? Nope, Mothra has your hard counter. He has it right now.
My right. favorite part aspect of the Mothra movies was that he was summoned by miniature twin, like, Hawaiian women. Like, twin Hawaiian women who would do a strange dance that would then summon Mothra, like, come, Mothra. Yeah.
Mothra had several movies.
Yeah, he did.
Uh-huh. Mothra in 1961. That was before Godzilla versus Mothra,
really,
for the record.
Qua?
It was a
Rebirth of Mothra. Rebirth of Mothra 2, and then guess what? Rebirth of Mothra 3, just because why the fuck not? We already built that costume.
Yeah.
I remember in Godzilla versus Mothra, they worked together in the end to battle a giant lobster guy.
Huh?
Remember that?
Yeah.
But,
can you pull up the Godzilla roar?
Godzilla Generations came out, it was in a very weird time for Godzilla. In 98 is the Gino period of Godzilla.
There it is. The Gino period.
Godzilla in name only, G-I-N-O. That was the American Godzilla of the Matthew Broderick film.
I see.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
Yes.
And so the game was awful. It got bad reviews in Japan, and importers, like, destroyed it. GameSpot especially, like, gave it a terrible review. And,
GameSpot staff.
And play, yeah, in 1998, but that's before your time. But they really hated it, and so it never came to the U.S. Like, they just didn't do it, even though it got repackaged as Godzilla Generations
Maximum Impact.
Oh, yeah.
In
Mothra
Japan.
Rebirth.
And that still never came here. Did you play the Godzilla, Destroy All Monsters for GameCube?
I thought it was a Wii game.
I never owned one.
There was a GameCube one first. That's where I played it.
Oh, okay.
It was basically
It was a crappy version of Rampage.
Yeah, it was a big brawler, a big 3D brawler where you just play as different. But
I definitely played it.
You played it
because it was a GameCube game.
It was a GameCube exclusive. That's why I played it too.
Calm
it was really
yourself.
The GameCube's
Calm
version.
Yourself, fanboy
it was
Coop.
Really the GameCube's version of Power Stone.
Yeah,
except it had characters you cared about, and it used a camera angle that didn't suck. So, you know,
all true.
Just one of those things.
The problem with that game was that there was a clear demarcation about what was a good monster and what wasn't. The later the monster, the more powerful they were, because there was like this power creep in the Godzilla films as well. So if you played as Geras, I think it was, or the first monster Godzilla ever fought, who was basically like a turtle. Just a turtle on all fours. He sucked compared to Mechagodzilla or Space Godzilla or Rodan. Like, they could
or Shodan.
Was it King Rodan, something. The guy with the three heads?
No, that was Ghidorah.
Oh, that Ghidorah was Ghidorah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, it sucked and never came to America. Even
Do you remember Baby Godzilla?
I got the sense while in Japan, Minna? Minna is the worst, man. I fucking hate
Mothra's
Minna.
The worst.
No, Minna's way worse. Minna is the star. In the 70s, Godzilla films became kiddie. And, like, Godzilla films were never... I'm not saying they were high art. Mm-hmm. But in the 60s, they were made for grown-ups and teenagers. But then they realized that kids were really starting to like Godzilla. So in the late 60s, they introduced his stupid idiot son with his dumb happy face.
Yeah.
And then kids were the main characters of the humans that would run in and be like, oh, Godzilla, help me, please. Like, it was terrible. terrible.
He's got big old eyes.
Yeah, there he is.
Oh, it's really bad.
Yeah. Oh, he's really small.
Anyway, let's talk about Gundam.
Yeah. Number three, Gundam Crossfire.
Crossfire!
You'll get Gundam in the...
So yeah, Gundam Crossfire.
What do you even say? Like, this is just like a Dynasty Warriors style Gundam game, right?
No, it
that's
predates,
Dynasty Warriors Gundam.
Oh,
yeah,
fuck.
It predates those. Sony was really.
I know what this game is.
Sony was really in love with the smell of its own farts in 2006.
It really were.
Doesn't.
They were like, oh, PS3.
Just fan it into your own face.
Yeah.
Cup it.
The PS3, they were like, oh, there's no comparison between the 360 and PS3. The PS3 is the future of gaming. You aren't even in next gen yet. And they had these sizzle reels that showed off CG. They were like, oh, this is what PS3 games look like. And Gundam had an amazing looking one. Like it's still the intro to the game. But then when you play the actual game, like, no, this was made by people who didn't know shit about the PS3. It looked like a slightly upscaled PS2 game.
Yeah.
It was broke as fuck.
But it was like the game they showed off for a while.
It was
while.
One of the, yeah. One of, well, because they had so few third-party exclusives to even showcase. So Gundam just kind of got slotted in there for lack of anything better. And it was just one of the many games that was like, we're showing off Sony's hubris, like, just to remember the level of hubris they had in 2006.
I remember playing it before it came out. I can't quite recall. I remember coming away from the demo and thinking, I think it's broken.
yeah, it was also kind of broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very sad. I just remember, as a civilian, I watched Adam Sessler's X-Play review for it, and he was just like, here's the trailer that starts at the game. Here's the actual game. And it was a giant glitch just fucking up the screen.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at the world. Here's the trailer. It looks nothing like anything you ended up getting on the system.
Yeah.
We're watching it now.
That's what
awesome.
I remember.
Laser swords.
Those.
It uses like these crazy CG camera angles.
That right there is like 2 seconds of gameplay.
Yeah, but with a whole lot of filters over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's essentially like they use a ton of filters over the footage and make it look real, and then they show like a second of gameplay, and you're like, ah.
They used every trick in the book to try to fool people into thinking this was a real next gen game. It was, yeah.
It had like no draw distance.
And look, I'm the biggest. I'm easily the biggest Gundam fan in this room. I have watched
easily.
Uncontested. I've watched all the original.
You can
Gundam
have that title.
Cartoon.
We are giving it to you.
And it just
Happy
makes
birthday,
me very.
Hank.
It made me very sad.
Happy
back
Thanksgiving.
Then. So yeah, disappointing.
Number two, Holy Diver. It's Holy Diver.
It's Holy Diver.
Hold me closer, Holy Diver.
No.
Yeah, oh, Steel Diver. So this was one of the.
I get the tiger.
The 3DS took the world by storm at the 2010 E3. I remember like everybody was so hyped for it that here's an example of how people were feeling in 2010 at Games Radar. One of the Platinum Chalices. I was rereading our old Platinum Chalices last week or this week, and the 2010 one we had a special award called like. Why we don't even care about 2010 anymore and want 2011 to come. And it was the 3DS. Like, I believe it was Justin that wrote it, but it was shared by everybody else. Like, the 3DS is the best. Like, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. Look at how awesome all these demos look, including Steel Diver.
Oh, yeah. It used motion control and 3D. And who worked on it?
Miyamoto.
Himself.
Miyamoto. It was front and center when talking about that game.
He was at the helm. He was using the periscope.
Yes. It was so.
Do you
so,
have Steel Diver, Holy Diver, the song on right now?
I might.
Maybe. So, but yeah, then the reality set in. I reviewed that game. And I was so excited, like...
Through thick tears. Did the 3D even work with how many tears were in your eyes?
No, it did not.
It went into 4D.
But it was like, there were 5 stages in it, I think. It was the antithesis of everything you expect from a Nintendo game. Like, there was almost no content, almost no replayability, and it was so gimmicky. Like, it just, it was like, oh, here's the challenge where you have to stand up and move around to be the periscope and then shoot missiles at other things. Like, it sucked.
Like, and it should have, if anything, it should have been like down, like not even a pack-in game. It should have been pre-installed as like, hey, here's a thing like Face Raider was.
Yeah, how much did you have to pay for that game?
It was a full price game. It was $30. Like, and it was a shitty launch as is. Like,
yeah.
That was just a bad launch altogether.
What are you talking about? There was Nintendogs and Cats and Pilot Wings and
Nintendogs plus Cats.
There was Street Fighter 4 game.
Yeah,
and that Ghost Recon game.
That Ghost Recon game was awesome.
Not bad.
It was that game. Ghost Recon game was like, hey, what if we made XCOM except with G.I. Joes
plus
and
Cats?
Yeah,
it was such a great secret way to resell XCOM to people.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, for Steel Diver, it then became a free to play game for the 3DS. Huh? Like, which Nintendo hates free to play. They've been on record of saying it. So, but they still wanted to experiment with it. So. That's how little they think of Steel Diver, that they made it the free-to-play experiment.
Yeah.
So, I actually like the seat.
Oh.
Yeah, I like it much better. I get a full, excellent view of everyone, and I can do this. It's comfortable.
Are you saying I can't do this?
No, you can't.
I'm doing it now.
No, you're
can
not.
Can they even hear
cushioned.
You?
They're leaning
you're
back.
You're not cushioned!
I am leaning against the cushions.
You are not leaning against the cushions.
Enjoying myself.
Number one on the list, Perfect Dark Zero.
I couldn't think of a better number one for this list than this one.
Could not think of.
Obviously you didn't, otherwise it would have been number one.
So, you know, this is the time for Fanboy Coop to come out again, but like, in the early 2000s,
never a good time for that.
It seemed like Rare was going to continue its awesomeness on the GameCube.
Well, did you see the hair textures on Star Fox's tail in Star Fox Dinosaur Planet? It really looks better than anything on the other systems, even though it's not the most powerful of the games.
Exactly. And so,
the fact that you can say Star Fox Dinosaur Planet without
Star Fox Adventures : Dinosaur Planet because they were so sure that was the beginning of a fucking franchise, not a dead end for Star Fox. That game probably killed Star Fox
for a little while. Yeah,
hasn't been.
Well, they gave Namco made one that wasn't very good either.
Command or Assault,
the 3DS game.
Yeah, no, the GameCube one. Know.
That was
where
Assault.
You walked around.
Assault, and that Assault. Game was that game was okay.
Carnivorous plant.
I mean, it wasn't the successor to Star Fox 64, but it was still better than any flight simulator on either of the other systems.
Well, so anyway, it seemed like Rare was going to continue being the crown jewel of Nintendo's second party. They owned, I think, 49% of Rare.
Yep.
And then here comes Mr. Moneybags, Bill Gates, to say,
you can't just buy your way to success, Bill.
So he
literally can.
He did.
Over $350 million to own Rare. They just bought Rare off of Nintendo, and I remember at the time thinking, like, this is the end for Nintendo. They lost Rare. It's done.
Yeah.
Man,
Rare was their company. They threw Rare Star Fox. They threw Rare Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong 64 was a huge deal on the system.
Rare made like a... If there was no Rare on the N64, it would have been... The N64 would have been trash.
Yeah,
like,
it'd be Perfect Dark and GoldenEye, both Rare. And all of a sudden, that was owned by Microsoft.
Yeah. But then, as the Xbox Originals lifespan kept going... Rare didn't do anything. They put out Grabbed by Ghoulies and Conquer Reloaded. And
which actually was a censored version. The only version of the game that was uncensored was on the GameCube, which is funny considering the mature stereotype associated with the Xbox.
But Rare had
shit-eating grin you get after you finish a Fanboy Coop sequence.
It's because I'm happy. All my knowledge of gaming history comes with a one-sided perspective from 2001 to 2005.
But Microsoft made it very clear when Conquer came out, that they're like, well, we did have a couple other games we were making for the Xbox original, but we're going to upscale those to 360 so they can be awesome launch games.
Cameo Elements of Power was actually on the back of the GameCube box when you bought it.
Really?
And it ended up, it ended up being an Xbox 360 launch title.
There's two canceled GameCube games on the GameCube box. That one and Donkey Kong Racing, which Rare was also going to make.
Yep.
Both killed by the transition. So Cameo eventually came out as a 360 launch game, and it was okay. It was basically the knack of its time. But even more disappointing was like Perfect Dark Zero. Everyone had been waiting. They waited more than 5 years for a perfect dart, a new perfect dart.
And when they, I remember when they showed it off because they made this big deal out of showing off, like the reveal
on
MTV.
MTV.
Who did the reveal?
Elijah
then?
Wood hosted.
Okay, yeah. So I remember them showing off like the jetpacks for the first time. Mm-hmm. Oh man, was that a big deal? Yeah. So I randomly went from hardcore GameCube fanboy to just blinding Xbox 360 fanboy. Until the Xbox 360 came out, in which case I just gave up on it. But for there was like a weird period of I'm just like, yeah, the Xbox 360 is the next thing. It's all that matters.
Well, and then Perfect Dark came out, and like it also had that screen, these screenshots that looked like ass. Like
yeah,
they had some of the worst screenshots ahead of time. The game itself didn't look that bad, but like the maps weren't that fun. It was just kind of blasé, and I really didn't. I personally didn't like Joanna Dark's makeover as a cute young lady.
Yeah, well, they made a big deal when they reveal when they made Perfect Dark that it wasn't like she's not Lara Croft. She is a like 30-something year old woman with a crew cut. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, for Perfect Dark Zero, what if she was just an anime girl, like yes. just the most generic looking anime girl possible?
Yeah, it was supposed to be the big first person shooter for the system, but people just kind of turned their nose at it and went to Call of Duty, and like that was when Call of Duty ascended. Like it's hard to think of a better sign of the future of gaming than when everybody was like, "Yeah, who needs Perfect Dark? Call of Duty."
Yeah, well, Call of Duty 2
was actually a really good game.
It was a great game.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not faulting that.
The funny thing about Call of Duty 2 is it's a totally different game when you go from medium difficulty to hard difficulty.
Doesn't it like change? It changes a ton of stuff in there.
Well, it just makes it where in the medium difficulty you can kind of just like
you Call of Duty your way through it.
Yeah, you just flub your way through it. But on hard, I can't remember. I don't think it's called hard. It's like veteran.
Veteran sounds like yeah. Soldier.
It plays more like a
Brothers in Arms.
Oh fuck! What is the name of that game?
Red Orchestra.
Tale of Two Sons.
Arma.
I mean something like Arma, where it's just like, oh, you got headshotted, you're dead.
Yeah.
Or
one
you
or
immediately
two shots
died. So it makes it so it's more of like a slow plotting tactical shooter.
Fun fact, one time I called it Call of Tootie Doo by mistake because it was like 2 a.m.
Oh, okay. Call of Tootie Doo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That happened once.
Yeah, and then after that, after Perfect Dark Zero, that was kind of the beginning of the end for Rare to become what it is now.
Like, they had one more.
They put out Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts
which
and
I
Viva
liked.
Pinata, which were both good.
Viva Pinata also came out. They released Viva. I still don't understand what sequence of events could have led to Viva Pinata coming out on fucking Game Boy Advance and DS.
Yeah.
That's the strangest thing in the world to me.
Well, Microsoft just made it very clear, like, no, seriously, Nintendo, we swear we're not going to make any handheld game. We're not making a handheld system.
Yeah, we really don't care. We need to make some money back because we wasted a lot. Well, Rare's also one of the companies sort of like, and this is going to sound much meaner than it is, but sort of like Blizzard or even Infinity Ward, where it's like, or I guess Retro right now, where people are like, why isn't this company that made that game I liked 8 years ago making a sequel to it? It's like, well, because everyone involved in that game left. Mm-hmm. Like, no one who made Perfect Dark.
Like an 80% turnover.
Yeah, like barely. I don't think there are probably more than like a few people who were involved in Perfect Dark that are still at Rare. Like
janitor, probably.
Yeah, the staff they have that's working on like Kinect Adventures is not the people that made Banjo-Kazooie. That's not the same group of people. They all work for Free Radical.
It was a very sad. I read a very sad article on like what the fuck happened to Rare. I think it was basically the start of it, and it began with this. They say like at the Rare offices in Twycross, UK, that they have in the front they have a tree that was planted by Miyamoto. Like he bought it for them to be like, this tree will grow with you. And they're like, and it's now just a sad sign of what Rare used to be in front of what it is now.
Yeah. They also went through this thing where like every year they'd be like, hey, Microsoft, here's a new game that we want. Here's a new hardcore game. Here's a new Killer Instinct. Here's a new Banjo-Kazooie. Here's a new Perfect Dark.
And Cameo,
Microsoft would just be like, well, we have this Kinect, and we just need someone to do something with it.
Yeah, they would they've released all these images of canceled Rare games, and that's because like Microsoft pulled them along for a few months to be like, all right, start make some concept art. Let's think about this, and then eventually, Microsoft just went, nah, we don't need that. We need Kinect games.
Halo. Why would we need another shooter? We already
Avatars.
Well, hey, can you make, instead of Cameo, what if it was Avatario?
Yeah, let's make some T-shirts.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's
sad. So, man, this top seven did bring us down. Yeah. That was the top seven most disappointing launch titles. Thankfully, there's only one current gen launch title on here because this current gen had a pretty good launch. Yay, happiness. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second and final segment of episode 66. We're a shorter episode. Sorry for that depressing first half, but I had fun.
Yeah.
I got to be Fanboy Coop. It's great when I do that because Greg does an angry smile. Tom puts his head down. Like, Tom opts out of the situation entirely.
To a happy place.
Yeah. You
meditate your happy place, Tom.
Doesn't exist.
Summoner's Rift.
I've always wondered that.
It's Summoner's Rift or the Twisted Tree Line.
It's the middle of the galaxy.
Blackness. It's just dark. So we're just jumping into the reviews, starting with one of the best games of the year. Super Mario Party.
You both screwed that one up.
Super Mario.
Super Mario.
And Tom jumped on it.
Super Mario 3D World. Woohoo. That's
Oh, shit. I gotta pull up this one song. Right. You can keep going.
So, Super Mario World 3D World is the 3D Mario we've been waiting for on the Wii U. It's supposed to be the Wii U's killer app, and it kind of is.
This song.
God, I love this song.
So, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so, anyway, it's the big brother to Super Mario 3D Land, but expanded in a great, great way.
What is the story here?
I got in one little bite and my mom got scared. I said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air.
What's up?
So, Fresh Prince, obviously, and they just overlaid it on? Or did they custom make it?
They remixed it.
Oh, it's a mashup.
Yeah, it's a mashup.
It's a classic mashup.
It's classic.
Anyway, Super Mario 3D World. I feel all talked out about it. I've just been talking about it so much. But it's just awesome. Like, it is.
I hate to tell you this, Henry, but we're on a podcast.
It is a great.
You cannot, like, interpretive dance this.
Okay, it's just a great.
Honestly, this song.
I mean, Dave
tells you all you need to know.
Dave put it very well that in his editorial this week that it is rich with that Nintendo magic, that undefinable, like, all ages type fun that just is in there. That it's like 3D Land. It is a 3D Mario platformer that goes way more to.
I thought that was my own.
That goes into classic Mario style of, like, you know, big colorful blocks. Giant enemies, all that kind of stuff. But the level design is amazing.
The level design is... I played a level yesterday that it's essentially like... It looks like almost like you're inside of a like a slot machine. And there's just like digital wall panels. And as you're going, you're finding cherries that just make clones of yourself. And all of it is just like these crazy things where you just need to like run extremely fast up something. And just ridiculous. And that's what makes these games so good is it's just like... A masterclass in level design.
Yeah, and it's so creative. Like, they'll just come up with an idea to barely use it. They're like, we only need this for four stages, then we're on the next awesome idea.
Like, the thing, as far as I know, the cherry thing, I'm near the end of the game, and it's only happened, like, twice. And it's like, that could be... That is someone else's entire game. That's some college student's, like...
Dissertation.
This is game design.
Like, I haven't really played too much of 3D World, but like what you guys are talking about so far, it sounds like what I thought of like Galaxy and
it is
those worlds.
It is extra creative in the way that Galaxy is. Though I would say there are moments of brilliance in 3D World where I'm like, wow, this stage is incredible. But that happened way more often in Galaxy. And Galaxy had more complexity to it, like. Mm-hmm. But that's not what 3D World wants. 3D World wants to be more mainstream, and that's another of its great strengths, that it is very mainstream, but it can still... It's got the stuff that will please longtime Mario fans. They still might think it's too easy, like they might complain that every level before World 7 is super easy, but you're still having an awesome time, even if it's not the craziest hard thing you've played.
And the multiplayer is...
It fucking works. The multiplayer works.
Greg and I and Lucas were playing last night, and I was owning. I'm just
he had
say.
The crown.
I had the crown the
and
entire
I made
time.
It my entire goal to get that crown from him. Mm-hmm. I didn't care if I was holding everyone back,
but just
I was having a blast.
Yeah, just the worlds being 3D that way, it's so much better than having like the 2D from
that
New
third
Super
dimension.
Mario Bros.
Finally makes it so you're not bumping into each other.
Yeah.
Standing on the edge of a block. I mean, you still will get frustration of. You're, hey, I'm about to get a green star. Somebody went in the fucking pipe.
Yeah,
God
damn
it, you.
Greg,
but
that
you
was
can
me.
Then turn to your friend and be like, hey, fuck you. I was about to get that green star.
It also, to me, feels like, so Mario 64 was obviously a huge deal because it was like, oh my God, a 3D platformer. And then Mario Sunshine obviously was what it was. But Galaxy sort of tried to reinvent that entire concept, and it did it a great job and made it into a game that most people say is a 10 kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But 3D world feels more in line with like Mario 64, where each level is a series of floating blocks that you need to jump on that's just all about the level design, instead of Galaxy, which felt like a more cohesive experience.
Yeah, yeah. And I ended up giving it a 4.5 out of 5. If we lived in the world of half points, of quarter points, I might have even given it a 4.75. It's just that it's just a little bit shy of what I would think would be like, oh, this is the next step in Mario. They've really gone forward. And also, like, the boss fights are not good.
They're very typical Nintendo boss fights in that, hey, someone's going to do something and then stop doing it. And when they stop doing it, you just got to
jump on their head.
Three times, no more, and that's it.
And in Galaxy 1 and 2, their boss fights also did correspond to those rules. You hit something three times and you were done, but they, like the rest of the level layout, they got way more complex. And there were way more of them, too. Like, you'll only fight, like, 5 different bosses, and they'll just reuse them. This doesn't count mini-bosses. Though, I will say, the final boss fight in the game fucking rules.
Like, I'm excited. So, yeah. It's definitely a reason to buy the Wii U now if you're a fan of Mario games.
Yeah, me and you were talking about this yesterday, and I think Nintendo might have had its best year creatively this year.
Like, yeah.
If you look at the total number of games, like a dozen games came out this year that everybody agrees are either from good to very great.
Yeah, like on the handheld front, you got a great new Zelda, which we'll talk about soon. You got several great new RPGs, new animal, including Pokemon, the first full evolution of the Pokemon franchise in a long time. Mm-hmm. Everything was them bringing out their A game. Not all of it happened on the Wii U, which was problematic, but
Animal Crossing, Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yeah, so many great games. Mario Party, which I reviewed, which we're not actually going to talk about that much. It's okay. But a lot of good games. Mm-hmm. Let's actually move on during this conversation to another Nintendo game, The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
A Link Between Worlds. Yeah, so for those of you guys familiar with the SNES, A Link to the Past.
A Link to the Past. A Link to
Jeez,
the past.
I almost word. Lost it. So this game takes place in the same world as A Link to the Past. So there's the normal Hyrule overworld, which... there's been some
Hyrule
redesign.
Overworld, or is it low rule?
I'm talking about
Side
Hyrule first.
Rule. All right,
but there's the normal Hyrule overworld, which is like the light world from Link to the Past, And then
blog.
So all of that's like the same kind of design, and it's laid out similarly to the classic one. And there's also the low rule, which is the dark world. So you'll be switching between the two through these like little warp portals and stuff. And
the queen of low rule is Hilda.
Hilda,
the princess.
Yeah. There's these mirrored characters like Hilda is the mirror of Zelda. There's
Hilda.
Yeah. Ganondorf's mirror is the villain.
What's
Yuga.
His name?
Yuga, that's
and
right.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're the opposites of each other. So Hilda's, I don't want to spoil that, but like the Ganondorf guy is more of a trickster, and Ganondorf's more
it was
like
a
power guy.
I thought the Ganondorf clone was a girl.
He kind of just looks like a tricky clown,
skinny,
like Kefka style.
Yeah, like Kefka style. But
speaking of World Championship Wrestling or World Video Game Wrestling,
quality
man,
Kefka.
How often did they do those?
I don't know.
I don't know either. We were stuck. All watched the Royal
Dave
Rumble.
Dave Rutten from OXM linked this like just video game battle royale, and then it just broke our office.
There was a solid. There was, I'd say, a full work day, like 8 hours lost for the game in our office that day.
Yeah, I don't watch wrestling ever, and I was hooked.
Wario was a fucking wrecking ball. I was heartbroken when he got kicked out.
Duke Nukem, man.
Duke Nukem and Wario, I was really upset that Gaben took it all.
Octodad.
Octodad got destroyed, but it was great.
He was quick.
One of the greatest upsets known to man. I'm not surprised that Gaben took it, just because...
He came in at 40, though. That's the lamest thing.
There was one point when Wario was one-on-one fighting someone... Like, and he threw, or no, it was two on one, and he threw somebody out of the ring, and then it was 1-on-1, and he just immediately picked up the other guy and threw him out, and he's just standing, walking around the
middle. And then somebody came in, and he immediately threw that guy out, too, and was just like, nuts. That's just the rest of this match. I'm just going to destroy you.
I'm just going to pick him up. Anyway, so Zelda, there's a couple of new mechanics that go along with the new handheld. There's a renting system that comes from this little guy that you meet. It's called Ravio, and he kind of just breaks in and saves you at one point and hangs out at your house and just decides to stay there because he's not from around. He's just like this traveling salesman guy. And he ends up renting you all of the main items from the game, from the series. So, like, the boomerang, the bow, the bombs, and...
Hookshot?
The hookshot. All the active items. Like, you won't be able to rent, like, the Titan glove or the Pegasus boots from...
Rock's feather, is that in there?
Infinity Gauntlet?
No, the feather's not there, no. Infinity Gauntlet is... Yeah. That's Marvel.
I know. I'm just trying to contribute.
But anyway,
hey, next time you want to contribute, make sure you have something to say.
Yeah.
Infinity Gauntlet.
That was a good one, though.
So all the active items you could get, and this really opens up the world, so you could...
It's like 80 degrees in here, and I'm literally falling asleep.
I came close to taking a picture when I think you did fall
asleep. We both came really close, yeah. I wanted to say, hey, Tom, where are you? Because you were leaned back, eyes shut, just like a smile.
We're
on
also
your face.
Talking. Yeah. We might as well also just be talking about happiness because Nintendo is the antithesis of Tom Aguirre.
And it's boring. It's boring.
What score did you get?
I know it's not boring you all, so that's why I haven't said anything. But
get a 4.5 out of 5, and it's awesome. Go and play it. The 3D is amazing. The gameplay is awesome as usual. 2D Zelda. Pick it up. Play it. It's super sweet.
Okay, let's move on to. I've realized I forgot to play the top 7 theme again. But it's time.
Let's do corrections of.
Corrections, clarifications, retractions, acknowledgments, apologies.
Corrections. You screwed up.
What corrections do we have?
You didn't play the top 7 theme.
Oh, God damn it.
I'm doing an on the fly correction.
That was good. Also, I believe last time I said that a furry has sex in a Murray suit, but it's actually a mer suit.
A mer suit. A merman suit. Ooh.
No,
I missed this part.
What's
of
a mersuit?
A mersuit is a fur
anatomically
suit
correct, right?
That a furry uses when you don't use a fur suit for yiffing. That'd
that
be fucking
be
crazy. Yeah,
what's
you
a
use
yiff?
A mer. Yiffing is having sex while dressed like it, like your fursona.
Ah,
okay.
Fursona.
I'm learning.
Hey, we didn't even talk about persona.
We just did.
All right.
Every day's exciting, great at your Juness.
They announced Persona 5. We know nothing about it. It's coming out late next year in Japan for the PlayStation 3.
So, Fursona.
Is great at your Juness.
So, yeah, those are the only corrections I can think of. Oh, and somebody in the comments just said, poor Tom can't catch a break with corrections, and yet he... Because last week you were the correction.
Oh.
They said, and yet he does it again by saying that Killer Instinct looks like the next Street Fighter. Or it looks like the next Street Fighter 4.
I didn't say the
it's
next
on the
Street
forefront
Fighter.
Of graphics.
No, I said...
Let me look again. I may have gotten his thing wrong. I may have to correct myself. Great. Poor Tom can't catch a break, and yet he does it again by saying Killer Instinct looks like Street Fighter 4.
Oh, it does look like Street Fighter 4.
All right, well then...
It's just unequivocal.
Corrections.
Yes.
Screwed up.
For reading that comment wrong. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to...
Tom is just completely taking over.
He tries so hard.
Sound effect.
So hard.
So last week's question of the week was, what's your favorite gaming moment that involves your family. And we had some really touching and funny stories. So sit back, Tom, grab your, take a snooze.
The most comfortable seat that you
While I regale you with some fun stories. John Dagger says, my family gaming memory with my family was Christmas 2008. We were having a party and the whole family was over. My brothers and cousins went down to the basement to play Guitar Hero while the adults got shit-faced upstairs. Eventually, an older song that my parents knew came on, and my cousins and I looked up to the stairs to see my drunk father and his equally drunk brother stumbling down the stairs and pointing an accusing finger at the television. They demanded to know what the hell dumb kids were doing listening to Blue Oyster Cult, and we told them that Guitar Hero was. The two grown-ass men proceeded to push children and teenagers aside and pick up the rickety pieces of plastic that were called guitars. I managed to get the game into versus mode, and the two drunk bums battled it out while screaming the lyrics to each other's songs at each other. Since you couldn't fail in this mode, the virtual crowd began booing them to the point where my uncle became furious and began arguing with the television. Eventually, the rest of the family made their way downstairs, and in a few minutes, we were all almost in tears from laughing as two grown men scream and wail on plastic toys while a virtual crowd booed them into next week. Jackonomics said, my sister would fart on my face when I lose against her in any multiplayer games.
I think she wanted a bit more than being your sister.
It was disgusting, and the reason I moved out. I bet people with farting fetishes would have loved that. Then Ryan Taljanik replied, Jesus Christ, that's horrific. Then Jackonomics replied to that, she was older and stronger than me, which is why she was able to subdue me and prepare for her gassy ass salts.
Good work.
Pulled it out in the end.
Assaults.
Are you looking for freelance work with puns? Because if so, we may know someone.
Punpun.com.
Oh, crap. Always I didn't grab the name for this person's.
Jerry Cantrell.
They said,
I like Jerry Cantrell. I went to a Jerry Cantrell concert.
Really?
Yeah.
My parents, being Lord of the Rings fans, playing co-op Return of the King on the old GameCube, is the closest they've ever come to divorce. Mom. Get out of my way, Legolas. Dad. I'm Legolas. You're Aragorn. Mom. You've gotten me killed now, Dad. Can we kill each other? Note, you can't. Mom, where's Legolas then? Dad, I'm Legolas!
This is Jimbo, son of Ryber, by the way.
Thank you very much. Various character mix-ups and incidents involving the two venturing so far apart that the camera refuses to pull out anymore, and one person gets caught behind a wall. They soon gave up after a ghostly cave level. The winner, too. At the time, my second youngest brother was 10 or so. He was playing Oblivion in the living room. He was at the part where he was stuck in a bad save because he was OCD about being the only having one save file at a time. God, I am having a hard time reading out loud.
Flubflubflub.com.
He couldn't stop dying in this part during the main story mission. He was eventually screaming and on the verge of tears, and when he died again, I bursted out laughing and said, "You suck." From over the windowsill, he screamed at me to shut up and picked up a big hardcover book, which I sidestepped, and the window behind me shattered. My eyes got wide, and I covered my mouth to keep from laughing as my dad exploded out from behind his bedroom door, and my brother got in so much trouble that I will never let him live it down. And my younger brother once got so mad at me when he was 7, that he decided it would be a good idea to take a shit inside of our old Sega Genesis.
I knew that that was going to involve shit. I don't know why. I'm like, this is going to be a shit story.
By the way, that is number 24 on our best Sega Genesis games.
Shit story?
Just shit.
A shit.
And the winner.
Crammed inside.
The winner this week takes us on a touching tale through his memory. Liquid X Vidash. My best gaming memory involving family also happened to be one of my saddest memories, but that's what makes it so important to me. Ooh. Growing up, my cousin, who was 6 months to the day younger than me, was my best friend. We were both huge nerds and loved gaming. I say nerd specifically because while I never deny the title, being a gamer in middle school / junior high school in the early 2000s made you a geek / nerd because kids were fucking assholes. We grew up together through our experiences within the many worlds we explored, from the closest to real-life video game we'll ever be, Jungle Trails of Crash Bandicoot, to the many worlds of Final Fantasy. Fast forward to July 2005. Our grandmother had been battling leukemia and was currently in the hospital. So he had come over with his parents to visit her. His mom drove back to Baton Rouge, and he stayed at our house. After losing about 3,000 consecutive races in Forza to the bastard, I decided it was bedtime. The next morning, we got up ridiculously early, made ourselves some pancakes. My parents were still at the hospital. And the jackass asked me if I'd like to have a chance at redemption in Forza. I obliged. And the most glorious thing happened. I made the SOB eat my freaking dust in a full 3-race circuit. Being a competitive individual, coupled with my pride finally being slightly less damaged, I was riding a freaking tidal wave of glory. Somewhere at the end of 5 solid minutes of laughing at the ridiculous dances and fist pumps I was making, my front door opened and my mom came into the living room, accompanied by my aunt, who wasn't supposed to have been back for a few days. That morning, our grandmother had passed away, but we got the chance, just for a brief moment, to not be sad. Whether we'd know it at that point or not, I can always smile knowing that the worst day of my life was one that which started with my cousin slash best friend and I having one of the best mornings in our entire lives. Oh, and I'm sorry for the somber nature of my story. I hate being the guy who brings the mood down.
Well, don't worry. The mood was never up in this podcast.
Yeah. That is correct.
Good story.
Yes, thank you very much for that story.
What should that guy do?
He should contact me at Greg H. at GamesRadar.com, and you'll get something sweet from the prize pool.
Sweet swag. You know, are you going to tell him what we just added to the prize pool?
What did we just add?
That box.
Oh, the gamer gloves?
Oh, yeah.
You want to explain what gamer gloves are?
So we got a box of gamer gloves today.
From who?
In various sizes. Probably
the company
gamer
that makes
gloves.
Gamer gloves.
Okay, okay.
That we got, they showed up today in a box, landed on Sophia's desk, but it was just sent to Games Radar.
Mm-hmm. So we opened it.
Yeah, opened it.
Totally not fraud.
Greg's Radar.
We tried on. There were about 10 packages or 15 packages of gamer gloves. We all tried them on. I reached. They're gloves that are supposed to make you better at games.
Better.
Like better texture. I reached for an Xbox One controller, and the gloves are immediately so slick that fell right out of my hand. They have textured thumbs for the thumb pads, because that makes it almost impossible to detect when you're actually pressing a button. And they get really, really hot.
And size fits all?
No, there's
multiple
different sizes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind.
If that was the only problem.
Yeah.
I feel like this is something that you'd give to your friend that has clammy hands and like mm-hmm. goops up your controller.
Yeah, or you give it to your friend as a gag gift because here's why you should, if you win, you should ask for one. Do you have a friend who thinks that they're better than you at a game, but they're not? Mm-hmm. Give them these. And say, like, here, maybe they'll make you a little better so that I don't beat you so easily. I think you need some kind of performance enhancement.
And then you look like the total douchebag that wears driving gloves.
Yeah.
You could have gunners and gloves.
And Arnett's.
And a helmet.
Gunners work for real. Those are actually good.
Henry's like, I'm not shitting on gunners.
No. I could see
just
how
gear
those,
up for your gaming.
I could see how those gamer gloves would work better if you're a shooter guy.
You still got to use buttons in shooters,
well,
though.
But if your two thumbs are most of the time on the twin sticks and you're just shooting with the triggers, it would be more useful.
It could keep your fingers warm and on a cold day. Maybe.
Since you said that, before this podcast even went online, people who make that product put that quote on the back. I could see how these would be useful if ... Henry Gilbert. Professional gamer.
So this week's question of the week is Thanksgiving related. And it's something that everyone is going to do when they get to their Thanksgiving tables with their family. And the mother usually turns to everyone and says, let's all go around the table and say what we're thankful for.
Oh, my God.
Well, aren't we doing this for the question of the week on the site also?
It already has been.
So if we do, we can't do it for both because then we're asking people to give the same answer to both.
Answers.
Yeah. How about, let's keep the theme. Okay. Let's say, what
are you least thankful for?
All right.
Got to turn in negative.
All right.
This is a negative episode, yeah. And that's just how it's going to be.
What are you least thankful for about gaming? I'm going to start.
Go.
I'm starting with fucking fanboys who take to our Facebook page and decide to turn every single article into an argument about what's better, Xbox or PS4. You guys suck, and I hate you.
I'll say that I'm least thankful for people who don't respect the
the gamer gloves.
No, who don't respect the passion of fanboys. People who think that fanboys are arguing just because, when in reality, it's a way of life to be a fanboy.
Are you fanboy cooping me about fanboys?
Maybe.
I am.
It really is just people who know what's actually up. Everyone else is
just
bought out.
Shut up.
Maybe if you guys didn't have to live and die by advertiser money, you'd actually be able to say what things are good and aren't. My website, my blog on WordPress.
I'm literally leaving.
It's horrible, right?
My WordPress blog has 17,000 word reviews of every game, and I'm not bought out.
I
am least thankful for Fanboy Cooper. That is the least thankful.
In all of gaming.
In all of gaming.
Fanboy Cooper.
That is
Coop.
It.
Right
I'll stand
now,
behind you on that one.
Right now, I am least thankful for Japan because...
All of it.
They've been letting me down lately with their game stuff. First off, Super Mario 3D World sold only like 100,000 copies in Japan. Like
smallest Nintendo opening for a Mario
Japanese,
game.
For a 3D Mario game, lowest sales, first week sales ever. It's a third of what Lightning Returns Final Fantasy has. I mean, come on. And then second, all four Persona games got announced only for Japan. Atlas USA has not said dick. And I'm very worried that because they got bought by Sega, who is notorious for not localizing stuff lately, that some of those, or maybe all of those, aren't going to come to the U.S. That's what I'm mad about.
All right. I felt the passion just now.
Yeah. I'm least thankful for voice recognition on my Xbox One because whenever I'm doing anything, for some reason, it just starts listening and the menu pops up and I'm like, dear God, stop listening.
Oh, it's so good, though.
I fucking hate it.
I was playing Dead Rising, and in Dead Rising 3, you can say, change clothes to put your character back in the default outfit. Oh, and I was playing, and I had a funny outfit on, and I went, hey, Jess, check out my character's clothes. She looked over, and as she looked over, he went back to the default outfit. And it was like, come on!
Yeah, I've had multiple conversations with people in front of Xbox Ones, and it just goes, oh, you wanted to quit, right? Or you wanted to go to Skype. We hear you. Well, let's go. Like, yeah. No.
We're here for you.
I was watching like YouTube videos with my girlfriend and stuff, and we're just watching like Jimmy Kimmel or something, and then we're not talking at all, but it's picking up what the TV is saying, and it thinks that we're talking to it. I'm like, God damn it.
So I heard the Giant Bomb guys today a live stream when the Xbox One came out and they didn't have their Kinect set up and they realized that there were a lot of people watching them on Twitch through their Xbox One, so they started just being like, Xbox One, turn off. Yes. Trying to shut down people's systems. It's the best trolling ever. We should end every video we do with Xbox One, turn off. Yes. that should be our sign off for all of our shows. So, yeah, answer in the comments what you're least thankful for in gaming. And be sure to like
the spirit
us.
Spirit of Thanksgiving.
Be sure to comment on our iTunes page. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GR Radio Radar. Be sure to comment in the article. Mm-hmm. Just let us know what you liked of the episode. Also, I have a request.
Go on.
We have a top 7 jingle that I always forget to use.
Uh-huh.
I want people to send in sound clips of them saying the numbers 1 through 7.
Oh, okay.
That's all I want. Just say them in silly voices. You can, if you want to just send in the number 3, and that's it, that's fine. I'll eventually Frankenstein it out of a bunch of things. But send me voice clips of you saying the numbers 1 through 7. And also send in a clip of you screaming the word winner so we can play it before the winner of the community segment.
Hey,
those are our requests.
I have a question. What are you doing next weekend?
Not
this weekend, next weekend.
Like Friday into Saturday?
Yeah.
My plan is get baked and watch all of the X-Files.
Okay.
And before that, 24-hour live stream on GamesRadar.com.
Good one, Tom Agrino.
Oh, crap, that's really
dropped
the ball. I was
about to bring it up, too. I just want to say.
So December 6th.
Henry
December
gets full
6th,
credit.
December 6th from 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. December 7th.
Oh. Pacific.
Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific.
I only live in California my whole life, so I don't even acknowledge that most of the country lives everywhere else.
That would be noon to noon if you're on the East Coast.
Is that SoCal Greg?
Yeah.
Is that a new character?
And I guess, that's 5 p.m. to 5 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time.
Greenwich?
Why do they have to be mean?
I don't know.
Why do you have to pull in some racism?
Greenwich
xenophobia.
Nice time.
I'm having a mean time over here.
Yes, 24-hour marathon. We're going to be streaming for 24 hours, different games. We've
got two games with the word Viking in it.
We do.
Yeah.
Back to back.
I'm
Vikings.
On both of those.
Viking hour.
It's going to be awesome.
Hours.
Viking.
We have been warming
up
for this with those 7-hour streams we've done the last 2 weeks.
And I realized that after I got done with those 7-hour streams, if I put those streams together, it was only 2 hours past the halfway mark of what the 24 hour is going to be.
And also, besides doing the live stream, if you don't care about watching a stream but you want to play games with us, we're going to be playing games the entire time also, separate from the stream. Pokemon.
Swator GR Guild.
But watch the stream because there's going to be a lot of zaniness going on.
We should find a free-to-play MMO and all start at once.
What, Tom?
You'll find all the information on where our names, where you can find us on the website. At some point, we're going to post a story.
Some point soon.
That says, hey, watch us here. And if the spirit moves you and you find yourself in a holiday gift-giving spirit.
If you have any money left over.
We'll be doing this for charity. So our goal is to raise $5,000.
For Child's Play,
which
right?
is double.
No. Extra Life.
I don't care.
We're doing extra.
Yes.
You know, fuck Child's Play.
No.
Oh.
I'm gonna edit that to get rid of the word play.
Fuck Child's.
Yes.
Fuck Child's.
Well, now you don't need to.
All right. It's easy.
No, Child's Play is fine. Whatever. $5,000 for Extra Life.
5 G's.
Which is twice as much as we got last year.
Yeah.
I don't know why we would be so ambitious.
Because we have at least twice as many followers as we had last year.
It's true.
And we have a community manager.
We sure do. Damn it.
So, yeah, be sure to swing back for that. We'll have a podcast leading into that.
It'll be all over Twitch. They can watch Twitch on their Xbox One.
Shit, that is next weekend, isn't it?
You can spend your money to make us do things.
Horrible things.
Whatever
to each
you
other.
Want.
Beautiful things.
Let us know in the comments what you want us to do for money.
Yeah.
And we'll do it.
Oh. Yeah.
We are actually whores.
Lucas Jeremy Sullivan is taking the entire week to start stretching.
Donnie Tarrant, our intern, is like, abuse me.
Yeah.
He's like, volunteering for abuse.
He is a freak.
He wants that
in the kinkiest way possible.
Yeah, I don't mean like he's disfigured.
He likes the degradation.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk
to you
next
week. Focus on your cheeks and your neck. All right. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna eat each green pea, and you're gonna really hit those E's.
Okay. Okay.
Way harder than you normally would.
I want to hit it.
All right. Can you lead us?
Yes. Yeah. So it's
eat each green pea.
All right. And so we're gonna do that again.
Okay. How did we do?
You did all right. Okay. You can probably stretch it a little bit further.
Stretch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to feel it, your whole face just like
stretch.
In pain.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Eat each green pea.
Nice.
That one hurt.
Not bad.
You stretched.
All right. Yeah. That's how you know you're doing it.
Go 85%.
Okay. We'll do one more. So it goes, the lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue, articulation can be fun.
Okay.
And you need to go through it at that pace.
Okay.
And when you say each word, when you say the lips, think about your lips. When you say the teeth, it's like the eat, and then tip of the tongue.
Enunciate.
Yes. It's all about diction and enunciation.
Diction.
I know my diction.
All right. So,
the lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue. Articulation can be fun.
Right. That was fun.
I had a good time.
Did you focus on each
one? I did. Yeah, I tried to.
Yeah.
This is tough. All
right.
I had a problem where I was always thinking of the next one because I was afraid I was going to forget it and be embarrassed.
Well, let's do it one more time then.
Okay.
The lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue. Articulation can be fun.
Perfect.
That was, I got that one. I could feel
that
it.
Was great.
Yeah.
I could feel it in my tip of my
good.
Tongue.
Yeah.
So that was a brief warm up.
So I'm going to down all this coffee now. Is that a problem?
Not a problem at all.
Okay.